This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstich.
Sheer, I told you it's Falstich.
That's not how it's spelled.
Well, BJ yelled at us.
So it's spelled Falstich, though.
It's like false dick, like it's like a fake dick, you know, like a sex toy.
Oh. That's Jess Dildo.
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Sheer and El Jordano Diablo.
To Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Sheer.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week we're taking on one of the titans of entertainment. I hope you're strapped in because it's about to get real. Joining us in studio this week is Unsuitable Languages First Lady, Kristen Gailwood.
Welcome.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in, Kristen.
That's just like how timid that was, just because, I mean, I've seen you do comedy before, but like how timid that is, like, we're taking on a titan of industry. Hi.
I mean, yeah, that's Kristen, though.
Perfect.
Yeah, so Kristen, why do you hate new Disney animation?
There are a lot of reasons. One of the first things that strikes me the most is, especially with the CGI...
Okay.
Is that the movies end up having really beautiful backgrounds, but I don't think the characters fit in. They're kind of terrifying looking. Like, you can draw big eyes in 2D, but when you make it 3D, it's scary. I think Disney animation doesn't translate to it. I think they look weird. You know, the characters do like these stick bodies with these giant bobbleheads and giant alien eyes. And I just like, if you look at Cinderella, she looks like she could be a real person with just slightly exaggerated proportions.
Right. But, you know, the newer animation, they all look like Bratz dolls.
Yeah, they do. And I really hate that because, you know... human beings are really diverse and really diverse looking, and Disney just manages to, you know, make a lot of their characters anymore just like look exactly the same.
They're a smart company. They might be going for like a Unity thing on that. I don't know for sure, but are you talking specifically about like the live animation shit?
I'm talking about CGI.
Okay, so like Pixar and all that?
I'm actually not talking about Pixar because they are kind of a separate company. I'm talking specifically about, you know, Disney.
Give me an example of a movie, like, I know what you mean, the CGI style, like, Wreck-It Ralph, that was Pixar, wasn't it?
No, actually Disney.
Oh, that was, okay, so that was Disney. Okay, alrighty, I was just, because they all kind of look the same to me. I mean, I don't know.
Well, that's exactly her point. They all look the same.
No, I mean like Pixar and the Disney characters.
But actually, Jeremy brings up a really good point because if you look at the artistry of Disney, even though a lot of the films kind of look the same, they are informed by the subject or the culture. Like Sleeping Beauty is a lot of horizontal and vertical lines, because that's medieval art was like that. So if you look at the design is different. Lilo and Stitch has a lot of very soft lines to kind of harken back to the days of early Disney, kind of like as an ode to that. Pocahontas, you see a lot of angles in that because of Native American art.
Yeah.
And kind of like the just overall, like kind of like some of this, you know, more psychedelic elements, I guess,
okay,
are kind of from that. But if you look at different Disney movies, they have their own like kind of like
their
I'm
own
not good
feel?
With words.
Yeah. Their own feel of them, like you can tell, you can take a scene that isn't necessarily of a character in Cinderella and a scene that's from Sleeping Beauty, and you can tell them apart.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, if you give me a background from those different movies, there's probably a good chance I could tell you what movie or at least what decade.
Even the color palettes are very like distinct, because you look at The Little Mermaid and then you look at Robin Hood. It's really, really different.
Well, I mean, like the one that popped into my mind was 101 Dalmatians. Like, it's very cool.
Oh, you know? Interesting thing about that one. That's when they first stopped hand inking the outlines for the cells. And they did a Xerox process when they basically kind of Xerox the animator's drawings onto the cells. And that way they were able to draw that many Dalmatians, because they just draw a group of them and then just copy them and put them all in the same scene.
Oh, no kidding.
Huh. Yeah, so
pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's just the downside was it you couldn't use as many colors to outline, and that film and like to the 70s has a very rough feel until they kind of refined it more in the 80s.
Okay. Rough feel because it's dogs.
You're an asshole. My favorite's always going to be Jungle Book. That's my favorite Disney movie. I mean, I love that movie.
Yeah, that's my mom's. I don't know why I just said that. Like, nobody is interested in knowing that.
What about Peter Pan's another one I love? That's another classic, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's probably my favorite blatant racist Disney movie. Like, they just don't hold back. Like, how does the red man say how?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, not 1 ounce of mistaken respect for that culture at all. Just totally like, nope, you're all Plains Indians. You all have big noses. You're all red. You know what? Actually, they all look like Chief Wahoo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like the old, like the really, really, really racist Chief Wahoo. Like, they're all racist, yeah. But like that one from like the 40s where it was like still brown in color. And it's awful.
See, old Disney animation was really obvious about it's racism. And I think nowadays it's a lot more subtle.
What, are you saying Moana is more subtle in its racism?
I think the problem with that is, I say with a lot of their leading females, when they are women of color, they tend to have more athletic or fuller builds, with the exception of probably Jasmine and Tiana. And you just don't see those body types in their white characters. And I know women like that exist because my ass is huge. Okay, I am very white and European.
I was going to say, in Moana's defense, which I have not seen, it is, in that movie's defense, a more full athletic. They're fucking Samoan. Like, those are like the most athletic people on the planet. It's pretty, that's accurate. Is it racist? Sure.
Okay,
but and I'm not condoning.
You prove my point. We're all in agreement.
It is racist. I've watched Moana too many times. But
is it your favorite movie of 2017?
No, definitely not. No, because I went and saw Star Wars. But
fair enough.
On Christmas, like a good Jew. that's what. Now I remember what I did on Christmas.
Yeah.
All right. No, but if you take what Kristen said about, you know, everybody having, like, similar features, if you put Moana's head on Elsa's body, it would not look out of place.
No, I mean, aside from the color of the skin, but you're right. It's like, let me talk about their first leading ladies, probably because I'm really obsessed with the Disney princess movies, but, you know, I'm familiar with all of them, all the movies, but... like, if you look at Snow White, and granted they were kind of decades apart, which probably helps, but if you look at Snow White, Cinderella, and Sleeping Beauty, they're three white women, but they're very distinct. Like, their facial features, you know, are very different. They look like they're different people.
And oh, yeah, without a doubt.
With, like, newer movies, like, I look at Rapunzel, Elsa, and Anna, which granted they're sisters, and it's like, they just... I can't tell them apart sometimes. Okay. Like,
especially Elsa and Anna. Yeah.
I don't get, like, all right, so we, you know, talk about new Disney. Like, I've seen Frozen, I don't get it. Maybe it's because I don't have kids. I don't fucking get it. Like, I'm like, this isn't half as good as what we grew up with.
Oh, I can explain. Instead of one princesses, it has two.
I just don't get, like, why everybody liked it so much. Because my nephew fucking loves that movie. And his parents fucking love that movie. I'm like, I just don't get it. I don't.
My friend Camille made me watch it. She said, no, you don't understand. It's like X-Men for kids.
Okay, all right. I mean, that's a stretch, but
kind of.
I mean, X-Men for kids was X-Men for me.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They had a cartoon series,
and it was
great. It was. They had several cartoon series,
and Disney they own the rights to X-Men. See, Disney. Oh god, that's the biggest fucking problem.
They've purchased everything.
Yeah, they own the world.
I'm afraid of this podcast because, you know, when they take over the world, they're going to come for me because I, you know, said some bad things about them.
Just show them your wedding pictures. You'll be fine.
Did you get married as a Disney princess?
I did sew, like, a big light blue skirt to the bottom of the bodice.
Okay.
Over an existing dress. So it was kind of like Cinderella.
Okay, right on.
Ish. Very subtle, but...
I don't know. I don't know if you'd want to show them that. They might, like, sue for copyright infringement before they kill Kristen.
No, they won't because the color scheme's different.
I don't care. Just as long as they, like, freeze-drive me and just, like, put me in the Haunted Mansion. They can kill me.
Fair enough.
All right, so just putting that out there, Disney. Kristen has a way she wants to go.
You know where they're shoving you and me, the Pirates of the Caribbean. We're going to be sitting in the cell together.
You're going to be the butt Pirates of the Caribbean.
Exactly.
Because Jordan's gay.
I'm the gay one.
You're the gay one. I keep trying to explain this to you. You're in a gay relationship.
I don't see you're fucking me up. So you do win.
Kristen's gay married too.
I still don't understand.
Elton did three shows at the Corner Pub making him a comic. Therefore, she's gay married.
I think I can't wait until you date a comic so everybody can call you a big fag. Because I've been dealing with it for going on 6 months now.
Yeah, well.
God, 6 months?
I know, right?
Jeez.
No, it's awful.
Fuck up, man. Seriously, because people are going to be calling you that for a long time.
Oh, I was... You just took the words out of my mouth. It was only until a few years ago that people stopped asking me if I was gay. So I dealt with that question for a long time. But being called gay is a very different thing by a fat Jew.
Yeah, well, he's just mad because I insist. Well, it's just like, you know, the people that I live with now. It's a person in the service industry and a restaurant person. Therefore, straight marriage. But if you're two comics, gay marriage.
All right.
That's just whatever you say. That's how I feel. I'm taking it back.
Maybe they'll make a Disney movie about it someday.
Yeah, they're gonna make a. It's gonna be hand drawn animation. I'm gonna insist on that.
Yeah, that's the other thing that's kind of annoyed me about new Disney animation is that every time they have a new idea, they want to do hand drawn animation. Well, I guess technically it's all done by hand. I'll call it traditional.
Okay.
They wanted to do traditional animation, but they're like, no, the ice and Frozen, it's so important. It's such an important part of the movie. And then, like, in Moana, they're like, they wanted to do the same thing, but it's like, no, the water, it's such an important part of the story. And then I feel like you end up with these really beautiful backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think it doesn't work as well for the characters, which I've already mentioned that.
So what's your least favorite out of the new animation Disney movies?
Hold on, let me check. I brought a list. No, yeah. just
preparation is important for this show.
It is?
Just putting it out there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Jordan. You know, I have a list of things to go over.
Yeah. Oh, Chicken Little. That was...
Chicken Little. That was a Disney movie?
Yeah, that was their first CGI movie. And I don't know. It just didn't resonate with me. I think it just really appealed to a much, you know, younger audience.
Yeah.
It wasn't... Because the reason I like Disney is because, you know, you can grow up with it and, you know, still watch it, and you can still watch the new movies, and generally they're still good,
yeah,
even for an adult.
That's true. That's something.
Disney, I mean, I will say, Disney makes quality shit. I mean, there was a reason that they bought Star Wars and Marvel, because they were like, we can make $1 billion off this because we're going to do it most of the way people want it done. So, yeah.
But I agree about Chicken Little. It's very, you can't really rewatch that now. Also, the only reason that I knew that that was a Disney movie is because Chicken Little was a summon spell in Kingdom Hearts 2.
Oh, okay. See, I never finished Kingdom Hearts 2. Chicken Little is a summon spell.
Yeah, you could summon Chicken Little, and then he starts shooting eggs out of a gun or something like that.
Oh, man.
Is he the character from Final Fantasy in that game?
Yes. Okay. The whole point of Kingdom Hearts is Final Fantasy meets Disney.
Oh. Yeah, it's actually, it works surprisingly well.
Well,
it's
I know people, I've seen somebody play the level or however the game works. I don't know if it, like, what kind of game it is, but what's Oogie Boogie, is that his name from
Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yeah,
is
that
his name?
Yeah, like I've seen somebody play that level before, and I was like, oh, that's a cool idea. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I have a funny story about that. So the year the Nightmare Before Christmas came out, well, actually the following year, for Halloween, my brother wanted to be Oogie Boogie, and my mom's actually a really talented
seamstress.
You know, yeah, self-taught. And she bought this burlap material. She cut out, like, you know, his star shape and everything, you know, and made the hood. And we went out trick-or-treating and with my parents. And after a few houses, I guess I was just oblivious. But my parents are like, doesn't it seem like people are being kind of mean or rude? It's like, what's up with that? And nobody knew who my brother was. Then we got to our friend's house, the family friend. He opens the door, starts laughing hysterically, and he's like, he looks like a KKK member.
that's where I figured that was going. I was like, I can understand that we'd be parading around. I was like, what did you go as? Because that could be
a princess. I went as a princess, and I'm just so thankful. This is the only time I've been thankful that I lived in such a white neighborhood. Because could you imagine if we had gone to a house with black people?
Oh, yeah, no, that would have been bad. That would have definitely been bad.
What? I'm Oogie Boogie. Oh, that doesn't make it any better.
I didn't say Woogie Boogie.
Oogie Boogie.
That's so fucked up. That's a great story, Kristen. That is a really, really good story.
Oh, my God. I'm just picturing Kristen.
Have you just been calling your brother racist, like, forever now?
No, I mean, whose fault is that? I don't know. Tim Burton's? My mom's? My brother?
I mean, did they stuff your brother at all with stuff? Because I feel like that would probably add a little more.
No, I think she did.
Okay.
She probably did, because when she made him stay puffed again, she just made a big suit, and she's like, because it's just easier to, like, she would just take the batting, the fiber fill, and she would just, like, fill my brother costume with it instead of, like, trying to, you know, make something that was already kind of, like, you know, filled up.
Yeah.
So she figured it's easier to, you know, stuff the stuff in once he's in it. He might have been, or the burlap might have been sturdy enough that it kept its shape. So
sure,
I don't quite
okay.
remember.
All right. Like, but she spray starches on it.
No, he looked good. Yeah. No, he looked good if you freaking saw the movie, which apparently nobody 20 minutes north of Akron did.
I wanted to love that movie growing up, but I wasn't really allowed to see it, like being raised Jehovah's Witness. So it was like, I wasn't allowed to see it, but I was like, I always knew. I was like, that's right up my alley.
Oh my God, that's got to be like the most evil movie, because it has like all the holidays.
Yeah, it's got everything that you're not supposed to have. Is there a birthday in that movie too?
Oh no. Probably somebody had Jesus had a birthday. There you go.
It's got everything Jehovah's Witnesses hate. That movie pretty much is my life. Nightmare Before Christmas is my life.
Yeah, it's a wonderful movie. I just love it so much. Especially, you know, stop motion animation you don't see
too
much.
Like Disney like produced that, didn't they? Did they release that?
Well, here's the thing. Tim Burton was actually an animator in the 80s for Disney. He was working on things like Fox and the Hound, which I know if knowing Tim Burton, that's kind of weird. But yeah, he's drawn little puppies. He actually came up for the idea for the Nightmare Before Christmas while he worked there. He did some sketches. He wrote a poem about it. So when he went back to make it, he had to go through Disney.
Yeah.
And thankfully, Disney, after seeing his success with other projects and Frankenweenie, which I don't think was ever officially greenlit by Disney, he just snuck it in because the studio was in such like disarray and falling apart. Like, The Little Mermaid was made in, I think,
84, 85?
Well, no, like, trailers. That's the word I wanted. Okay. It was made in trailers. Like, the company was falling apart.
Oh, okay.
So,
they were literally under the sea.
you are that fucking crab or lobster.
No, they were considering shutting down the department at that time. But anyway, tangent. So anyway, since he came up, he came up with the idea at Disney, so he had to go through them. And that's like one of their biggest properties. Like, Hot Topic, like, I'm pretty sure that created that store.
Yeah, pretty much. It's what created that store. Nightmare Before Christmas, Manic Panic hair dye, and cheap jewelry.
And Juggalos.
Juggalos was later. Like, Juggalos were not instantly shoved into Hot Topic. They were just like, we have to find some. And, all right, it's not like that anymore because I went shopping for a Juggalo costume at Hot Topic and I found nothing. Nothing. I had to go to Spencer's to get a Juggalo hat.
You know, honestly, Hot Topic is like half Disney.
Yeah.
Now.
It's like half Disney and half wrestling now. Yeah. Like, that's their two biggest properties, which fucking good for them for switching it up and adapting. But
I used to go there to get, like, old punk shirts that I used to have and got lost in my moves.
I don't know. It's all, like, Sailor Moon and rainbows and kittens now. It's kind of weird.
Chelsea and I were just talking about it. It's like, you know, when you're like 15 and like coming up in punk rock, like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I like you would get Hot Topic shirts, but you wouldn't tell anybody where they were from. And then as you got older, you were completely, I'm not buying anything at Hot Topic. That's mall punk. It's bullshit. Well, I'm 30 now and they sell exclusive shirts that I want there. I have no fucking problem going to Hot Topic any day of the week now, as long as I can get something I want.
Yeah, there's only one Hot Topic in the area as far as I know. But because that I went looking to buy Juggalo shit for the stupid character.
Did you go to the one in Eastlake?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say it's either Eastlake or Great Northern.
Yeah, and I went to Eastlake because obviously I would. But and I tried to go visit Chelsea, but she wasn't working that day. But yeah, they didn't have any Juggalo shit. And I asked them about it and they're like, no, we stopped carrying that.
We don't carry that faggot Juggalo shit no more. That's the Eastlake Hot Topic.
Yeah. But, I didn't start going to Hot Topic again until, you know, I was raising a kid because they had all the shit that she liked.
I don't know. They got pretty cool Kenny Omega shirts there.
I am aware. But considering that I am having a panic attack right now because I don't have enough money to Uber home, I'm not going to go buy a...
I can give you a Klonopin so you don't have a panic attack.
I don't want to close.
I'm just saying, I'm offering.
How much money do you need, Jeremy? I can run home.
Oh, it's fine.
I'm not nice enough to drive you home, but I am nice enough to give you the money.
Well, that's all I can ask for. No, I'll figure it out. It's fine. Where is the cutoff point? I mean, you said Chicken Little, but that was like really... I kind of view that as more of a standalone thing, but... Where was the tipping point where it went from, you know, the traditional Disney animation to, you know, where it is now? What movie really, like, kind of ushered in the new phase of Disney animation?
You know what? Well, for me personally, I think it was Frozen that really pissed me off personally. Okay. But there's the golden age of... I think there's like really four distinct eras in Disney animation. The last time I looked on Wikipedia, you have the golden era, which actually some of those movies like at the time didn't do well. Like Alice in Wonderland did not do well. They re-released it in the 60s. Oh yeah, everybody liked it in the 60s. So then there was like the Dark Times. I don't know if that's what it's officially called. That's after Walt died and the studio started struggling.
Oh, I thought I was confused. I was like, wait, They did a series of movies called Dark Times. I was like, I would absolutely watch that.
And, well, they do have The Hunchback of Notre Dame, which when you, I've rewatched it as an adult, I'm like, this is kind of dark for Disney.
You know what I've been going back and forth on is they, I just haven't watched it yet because Chelsea told me to get fucked when I was like, I want to watch The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. She was like, absolutely not. I'm not watching that. I'm like, why not? It's about Ichabod Crane. It's dark, Disney.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's, they're two nice shorts.
I love Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
I don't understand the rage it inspired, but okay.
Is she just anti-Disney?
I think she's just anti, like, I try to also get her to watch, like, the Tiny Toons Adventures movie, and she's like, I'm not having it. I'm like, yeah. All right, well, I'll watch cartoons by myself.
And yeah. Then from the Little Mermaid into, like, probably ending in, like, maybe 2000, that was considered a Disney renaissance. Or
Which that was Toy Story and Lion King and Aladdin and all that shit we grew up with.
Yeah, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast, yep.
They have Mulan and Tarzan and, like, Hercules in with that, too.
Hercules is great. Tarzan sucks.
I really didn't care for Tarzan, but Hercules is a pretty fun movie.
I mean, even though James Woods is a total piece of shit, his portrayal as Hades is great. And you got Bobcat Goldthwait in there, and Danny DeVito. I like Hercules. Hercules is a good one.
And then after that, I forget what the next period is called. It's basically another period of downturn, which they didn't have a lot of successes, and then kind of Princess and the Frog kicked off. I think they're calling it the New Renaissance. So I guess when you're talking about, you know, new Disney animation, I mean, they've been doing this since the 30s.
Yeah.
So
you're talking about, like, 2010s.
Yeah, probably. I think just more recently, I just feel like...
Do you think it's pandering?
Yeah, you know, because Moana's just a reverse Little Mermaid. It's like, don't go out of the ocean! Don't go in the ocean!
Yeah.
Yeah, this podcast is now just, this is what ruined my childhood with Kristen Gailwood.
Oh, it didn't ruin it.
Oh, I'm just teasing.
No, nobody's childhood can be ruined by things that come out now. That's not how it works. Your childhood was ruined when you were a child. Your childhood can be ruined by memories that are triggered as an adult.
Okay. Now we're going to get serious.
No, we're not going to get that serious.
Remember what happened last time we did that?
Yeah. I do. Thank you.
Let's not. Let's talk about Disney.
Let's talk about Disney instead.
So what you're most egregious. Like, what's the most egregious out of these Disney movies? That you dislike.
I really hated Dinosaur.
Is that the one from, like, the early 2000s?
It came out in 2000. It is a ripoff of The Land Before Time.
Yeah. And they get killed by a meteor shower at the end, don't they?
No, but it's, like, coming in. I only saw it once, so.
Yeah, I remember seeing it in the theater, but only one time.
That was pretty bad. There are some hidden gems, like The Emperor's New Groove.
That's a really good one.
That's a really funny movie. It really has, you know, the humor styles of, like, you know, creatives.
Yeah.
Which, you know, duh. Creatives made it. And Lilo and Stitch, that was, I think, the other... little gem of the 2000s.
Yes, I like both of those. I mean, especially Emperor's New Groove, like John Goodman, David Spade. Who's the guy who played Putty on Seinfeld?
Patrick Warburton.
Yeah, him. Like, I think the whole cast is really good and it worked really well. I like that movie.
It's very hard for me to hate anything with Patrick Warburton in it. I love his voice so much.
He is great. I like him a lot.
I even like the live action Tick he was in.
Oh, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, they changed a few things, but it's still Patrick Warburton as the fucking Tick. I mean, come on. He's a wonderful fella.
And I guess the other thing I'm kind of annoyed about now is that their upcoming projects are sequels, which Disney used to never do sequels.
Except for direct-to-video.
Direct-to-video. So the next things that are coming up are Wreck-It Ralph 2 and Frozen 2 and some other projects that haven't been announced yet. And one of the things I like about, you know, a new Disney movie is, you know, a new story, new characters, a new reinterpretation of an old story or a fairy tale. And I really enjoy that. And I'm really worried they're going down the Pixar route where it's just like nothing but sequels.
Yeah. Who did Despicable Me's DreamWorks, right?
Yeah, that's DreamWorks. Okay.
Like, I think those movies are... I've only seen the first two. I think they're really funny. I liked those for sure. I guess, like, when I think about it, it's like, I grew up, like, watching the ones that we talked about in the 90s. And then I've seen, you know, probably over the course of the last 17 years or so, a handful or so of the other movies that they've done. But, like, nothing's ever, like, ever appealed to me. I don't know if that just came with age, because I always liked Disney growing up. Like, I've never had a... Like, if something's good, I don't mind. Well, I don't care what it is if it's good. But I was, like, I just kind of fell off. Like, I didn't see Wreck-It Ralph until, like, last year. And everybody told me how good it was. And I liked it. It was fine, but...
Yeah, and I think that one, actually, because it's, you know, video games, I think the, you know, CGI, that works for a film like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a lot of fun, and I liked that one. Did they do the one where the little girl, where she has, like, the different...
Inside Out?
Yeah, is that a Disney?
It's Disney Pixar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's right. Disney Pixar, and... That was another one Camille made me watch. She was like, no, you're mentally ill. You have to watch this movie. And she was right. It was like, it was really good.
Like my little sister Delaney, she's 14. So she's a hormonal fucking 14-year-old girl. She loved that movie. She thought it was absolutely great. She's like, they understand. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. I still haven't seen it.
They do understand. It was developed, you know, with that in mind.
Yeah, I would recommend it.
Yeah. I'd watch it. I haven't been presented the opportunity. Yeah.
The moral of the story is it's okay to be sad.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, that's the whole point of it is just that. And it's wonderful.
Which I think is kind of important in our, like, happiness-obsessed culture. Like, other cultures really don't have that same attitude that we do. Like, in Japan, it's kind of... they actually had a hard time marketing antidepressants to them because it's kind of just like an accepted part of being alive. They basically, the one commercial they had to describe depression like when your soul catches the flu. And it's not that there aren't depressed people in Japan. There's just a different mentality about it over there, which I find very interesting.
Mental illness, the way it's perceived, varies from culture to culture.
Right.
And it's just, you know, in the good old US of A, if you were an unproductive member of society for whatever reason, then you were clearly mentally ill. So it's, I don't know, it's weird here. And, that's a whole nother episode.
Yeah. and then another one. And then another one.
I mean, I'm a really negative person. I hate a lot of things. So you can bring me back on.
Oh, absolutely.
Like.
Anytime.
Yeah. But it's... Yeah. It's... Yeah. It really... It's not okay to be sad. And then it makes it weird when you're raising kids. Because they latch onto this idea. And I'm guilty of it too when I was young. Of that, you know, number one goal is not, you know, having some fulfilling career or helping people out. It's feeling good. And because everything that's being pushed at you is being marketed at, this will make you feel good. And the older I got, the more I realized that it was a waste of time. You know, that's how I got into fucking drugs in the first place. It's like, yeah, I don't feel good, so I'm going to do all these lines, and then I feel fine, but now my body is falling apart.
And I mean, that's generally how it starts.
I think that's how I got into Disney. I think I was just a very depressed child.
And then Disney made you feel better. Like, here are these princesses that started from the bottom, now we're here.
I love you for it. You just used the fucking hip-hop song.
Yeah.
Why not?
I guess it could work.
Yeah. So, here's some things about the new Disney, though. What do you think of the music that they're coming out with now?
I'm really glad they got Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah.
If I want to pronounce his name correctly. For Moana. I really like the stuff he did for that. It sounds, you know, reminds me of that 90s Disney sound.
Mm-hmm.
I really do not like the people they brought on for Frozen. The first time I listened to the lyrics, I wanted to laugh because it's like one of the line is, who knew we had like 8,000 salad plates? Like, why? That's a terrible lyric. I guess these were the people that worked on, I think, the Book of Mormon, if I'm correct.
Mm.
And it's like...
Isn't that the dudes from South Park?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's the people
the
that...
The music specific. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's a husband and wife team. And, I mean, I think the sound, the beats are pretty good, or, you know, the musical compositions, but I felt the lyrics were pretty bad. And
well, like a lyric like that would have worked in a song like Be Our Guest, but that's also 20 years before.
Yeah, it just...
It's still a shitty lyric, any which way you slice it.
There's... it's just the... it's interesting because, you know, I listen to it and, like, they have, like, these really clever lyrics, and then they just have these, like, really stupid, meaningless lyrics. It's not like The Little Mermaid where... You know, she has this song, Part of Your World, where you're, like, pining away and, like, you really, you know, feel that emotion. And, you know, Anna's song about being tired of being cooped up in a castle, it just doesn't have the same feel. It doesn't have the same, you know, beauty to it. But that's the one thing I really liked about... the 90s is Howard Ashman, the lyricist, and Alan Menken, the instrumentalist. They worked on Broadway stuff. And so they brought that, like, sensibility to Disney, like, to make sure the songs, you know, told a story, helped push the story forward, or told something about the characters, but also made sure to kind of give it sort of that, like, timeless quality.
Okay.
So... You know, at the end of the films, they do kind of like a contemporary version of one of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it. It doesn't sound dated necessarily. And that's what I like about a lot of Disney music is, you know, from Snow White all the way up. I mean, some of it does sound a little dated, but, you know, they're still very timeless. And it's like... Do you want to build a snowman? I mean, that's not something I want to sing. It's like a really weird song.
It's fucking cold outside. I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Well, it's you think about those 90s musicals, too. Like, they transitioned onto Broadway seamlessly.
Right.
Can you imagine a Frozen musical?
They're making it already. Disney loves money.
Yeah, they do love money. I was thinking, like, you know, they had Disney on Ice for so long.
I remember Disney on Ice.
And then, like, the Broadway musical started, and they adapted things into TV series and things of that nature. So it's just, there's a lot of different ways to go about making more money off of the characters. But the fact that they don't have Frozen on Ice is the dumbest shit. Like, why wouldn't you do that? That's like a license to print money.
I think they have so many properties now. Like, they used to do the new movie that was out. They would do that every year. Now I think they have so many properties, they just put all the characters out at once, and it just comes around once a year without a particular theme.
Mm.
So they probably do have it, and they might have actually had the whole show. I just probably wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah. It's just, it's hard when you don't watch commercial television.
Right, anymore. Yeah. It's funny because, like, we've been, me and Chelsea will stream Raw or SmackDown from, like, the internet.
Mm.
And, like, you'll have to catch the commercials. I'm like, it's so weird watching commercials now because we've now been, I'd say the general public, I don't know how many people have cable who don't, whatever. We've been conditioned, I would say, what, Netflix has been huge for the last 6-7 years. We've been conditioned to, like, not see commercials anymore. And it's weird when you have to sit through a commercial break now. Because I don't watch football anymore either. That used to be my commercial intake for the year. But
so now it's all product placement, like as I'm taking a sip of this
delicious Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Oh, you know what was awful too?
I run on Duncan.
You know, it was awful. The Princess and the Frog, the music was done by Brandy Newman.
Oh, no.
And he did Toy Story, right?
Yeah, I'll give him a pass for Toy Story. That is the only movie where his music is okay.
There's one other movie, Major League.
Okay, wow. With Charlie Sheen?
Yeah, yeah, with the baseball movie. Yeah.
It's been such a long time since I've seen it, so, but I believe you.
It's only one song, but it's all about the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland, so it's like, why Randy Newman's writing... Love Family Guy or not, their portrayal of him in the episode after, like, the nuclear war was hilarious.
Is that accurate? But no, there's a song he wrote for Bug's Life. It's like, once a bug, little bug, hardly there. And it's like, what kind of egomaniac are you that you think you could sing this song? Get somebody who can sing if you're gonna write it. Man, like, he must have, like, zero self-awareness.
I think taking one look at Randy Newman is like a... Yeah, absolutely has no self-awareness. It's just like, people pay me money to be a fat dickhead.
Yeah, I mean, I think the songs in The Princess and the Frog, I mean, they were decent enough, still kind of reminiscent of traditional Disney, but it just, Randy Newman's stuff all sounds the same to me, and that drives me nuts.
You got a friend in me, you're just a bug.
they all sound the same. And
The Princess and the Frog.
I don't think it's quite that bad.
But I mean, like I said, it's been so long since I got around to watching the new Jungle Book that they did. Like, because Disney makes those, right? It is Disney.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah, it was. I really, really enjoyed it. Like, there were certain things that I was like, I wanted from the original that I didn't get, but I'm like, why the fuck would you want the same exact movie? I haven't seen Beauty and the Beast yet, but I plan to see it.
Well, it's worth it to see it once, but it's just a really unnecessary cash grab. And Emma Watson can't sing. They should have really cast somebody who could sing. And I don't know why she's British in the movie, because they live in France. But hey, in the movie, they all have different accents, too. So,
yeah, that's In the cartoon version from the 90s, I'm pretty sure that Belle is just like an American accent.
Yeah, and then
Gaston might be Canadian or something.
Yeah, Lumiere is French. Mrs. Potts is English.
What about Clodsworth? I don't remember what he was. I can't hear his voice in my head.
He's just like a snooty butler sound.
He was always my favorite character from that movie.
David Ogden Stiers, who does Cogsworth's voice, he's done a lot for Disney. He did Jumba in Lilo and Stitch. He did Governor Ratcliffe and Wiggins in Pocahontas. I think he was the Archbishop in The Hunchback of Notre Dame, which was like a really small role. I might be forgetting some of his other work with Disney, but he's done quite a few.
Yeah.
Important roles.
Because Angela Lansbury was Mrs. Potts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's Angela Lansbury. She's a saint.
Yeah, and she also did some live action with Disney.
She did the voice for the Siamese cats in, what movie is that?
Lady and the Tramp?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm pretty sure that's her singing it.
We are Siamese, if you please.
That's the one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that really Angela? I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, we're going to have to look that up. And also, I don't know if you're going to want to praise her for that, considering how it was.
Well, yeah, it's racist. It's pretty racist.
They're cats! They're cats!
You don't like cats.
I do. We just did a fucking whole episode. I said I like cats. I said I'm allergic to them. There's a difference.
I'm looking up if Angela Lansbury.
I could have sworn. I remember watching like an old. Remember how the Disney Channel used to play like in like during the day they would play like documentaries and just weird old footage from stuff?
No, I didn't have cable.
Oh, okay. So you've never watched commercials. So that whole thing I talked about, you have no idea. You've never seen a commercial in your life.
Yes, I have.
Fake news.
No, no, because I had to watch regular TV with the regular commercials because I didn't have cable.
I could have, because I remember, I could have swore it was Angela Lansbury, but...
I'm not seeing her listed.
No. Yeah, I didn't think so.
I thought it was, must have been a lady that looked like her, because they showed footage of like what they were showing, and the thing I was watching was her singing it and then them doubling the tape up so it sounded like two, and I could have swore it was Angela Lansbury.
Well, you know, all old white ladies look alike, so...
Correct.
Yeah, I can't blame
you. They all look like Jeremy Shear.
Yes.
Dude, oh, by the way, I'm totally taking a picture of you today. I had a revelation that you are not the... Well, fuck, it wasn't the crab from Little Mermaid. You're Danny DeVito's character from Hercules, the little goat.
Philoctetes.
Yes.
He's a satyr.
That's him. That's Shear.
You will not call me Phil.
No, I'll call you Philoctetes.
When I roasted him, I said, you look like you spend all your time cosplaying, or no, LARPing as a satyr. Wow, I didn't even think it was that funny.
I think it's great.
It was. That whole roast was good.
Dude, also, I looked at your shirt a little bit ago, and I was like, that's the coolest Outcast shirt I've ever seen. That is definitely not an Outcast
shirt. No, it's an Outcast Mentality shirt to go with my Outcast Mentality hat.
Are they a sponsor now?
They're not a sponsor. They're just,
They do stuff you like.
They do stuff I like. And, boy, if they reached out to me, I'd sure like them to sponsor me and give me clothes. Especially because they made a Call Your Crew, Not the Cops hoodie.
There you go.
I would love a Call Your Crew, Not the Cops hoodie, Outcast Mentality. Josh, if you're listening. I can't find who did,
The Voice of the Cats.
Yeah.
How fucked up would it be if it was an Asian lady?
That would be interesting.
It was Peggy Lee.
Does she look like Angela Lansbury?
Wait, Peggy Lee, didn't she do the voice? I think she did a couple voices for Lady and the Tramp.
She did. She did a couple voices. This is Peggy Lee.
Oh.
She kind of...
I told you. They all look alike.
Yeah, they all look alike.
Like, when I go over to my grandparents, it's good that, you know... Only they live there, because if I had to visit them in a nursing home, I wouldn't be able to find them.
They have nameplates above the doors. You'd be able to find
them. Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. That's, nursing homes. At any rate. Yeah, the weird thing, like, Disney movies are something that you can show in nursing homes, too, because they have to have... like entertainment that's appropriate for everybody.
And it has to be on VHS.
It definitely helps. My mother had like all the Harry Potter DVDs. That was her big thing. Okay. But she, you know, couldn't get up to change them. So it would be like she's...
Remember when they made 5-disc DVD changers?
I do remember that. That would have been nice. But she had like one of those... built-in TV, DVD, VHS.
Like when the one takes a shit, the whole thing takes a shit?
Yep.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That was her big thing. All right, so 2010s era Disney. Has there been anything that you've like, okay, this I can get behind? Because obviously it's not Frozen. Like something...
Wreck-It Ralph, she said that she liked.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph.
Okay. Tangled, actually, that was 2010. That was Disney's first CGI where they did a princess movie, and I really loved that. It was really...
Is that the Rapunzel one?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It was really visually beautiful, and their whole goal with that one is they wanted to kind of introduce a more painterly style. They wanted to get the best of both worlds, you know, like the detail of CGI, but... You know, kind of the beauty of traditional animation.
Well, I remember the hair looked fucking fantastic. Like, when it's waving, I was like, I've seen parts of that. I'm like, Jesus, they really stepped up their game. And
yeah, they're just trying to make it so you don't necessarily see, like, every last hair in the head, which can look really weird in some movies. But, you know, I loved it because it just reminded me so much of, like, every Disney movie that I'd seen. So it really... it was weird, you know, watching it in the theater. I felt like a kid again, and that was a really amazing experience.
Right on.
But it just hasn't been duplicated since then.
Well, I feel like Frozen wanted to be Tangled, but it's just not. Wreck-It Ralph, that was fun. Big Hero 6 I thought was okay. You know, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah, that was definitely okay.
And that's the one with the boy and the robot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Zootopia, I liked. I thought it was good. And I thought Moana was decent, but I thought it was kind of average in a way.
My favorite thing about Zootopia was, like, the social commentary of it. Like, I thought that was really good. But, like, so many people told me it was amazing. So I, like, walked into it being like, this is going to be so much fun. And, like, every part that I thought was funny was in the trailer. Like, the whole the sloth thing in that movie is fucking hilarious. Like, that joke is awesome. But, like, I don't know, maybe I'm one of those people that if it's built up too much for me, I'm going to be predisposed to not liking it.
Mm.
So,
that's I'm surprised you like sex.
Yeah.
Well, I was raised Jehovah's Witness. Nobody built that up to me.
Well, I will say, you know, story-wise, I mean, Disney isn't disappointing me. I mean, you know, I saw Frozen a few times. So, I mean, it's just, I'm not insane for it like everybody else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, no, I think their storytelling, you know, is decent. Some of it, like, I thought Big Hero 6's plot was a little more like run-of-the-mill.
Yeah.
I thought Frozen was kind of average, but I think, I still think they're, you know, bringing good stories. They're being consistent. They're not, at least, you know, they haven't put out anything recently that I thought is just, you know, like terrible. I do miss, you know, the beauty of, you know, traditional animation, and, you know, I'd love to see that again. Like in Pocahontas, even though it's very stylized, it's very, the backgrounds are really beautiful.
Yeah.
And then I drove through Virginia, on a road trip, and I'm like, oh, wow, that it's really that beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and it's just this, like, cartoon drawing. And, you know, so the thing is, you can capture it. You can capture those things.
You can paint it with all the colors of the wind.
Yeah, with traditional animation. Because, you know, again, you know, with Frozen with the ice and Moana with the water, it's like, yeah, that's really beautiful, but I think it really overshadows the rest of the, you know, visuals in the movie. Like the characters, I think the backgrounds overshadow the characters.
Overshadow the story. And like,
I don't think it overshadows the story, but I mean, just from a visual aspect.
Gotcha. The characters don't pop as much because it kind of blends everything together.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think a traditional animation, like the characters seem very much a part of their environments, but they're more harmonious, I think.
Mm. Okay.
I think they're more harmonious. Like, you know, Snow White, the first, like, I think first four films, the backgrounds, they used watercolor backgrounds. It's not a forgiving medium if you screw up, so they stopped. So I think Dumbo was the last, and then the last one after that was actually Lilo and Stitch.
Okay.
They went with that, but it's like, it is. It's kind of like looking at, like, a living painting, you know, and when they introduced, in the 90s, they introduced the cap system to, you know, they could get back to outlining in different colors, and it was easier to do shading and translucent, and you get, you know, these really, you know, they are like living paintings, like, you know, Beauty and the Beast. The Lion King has some of the most wonderful backgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if anybody's noticed, but just in The Hunchback of Notre Dame, they're really exquisite and beautiful. And, you know, they say with CGI, they want to make it like a living painting. And it's like, well, I think you can do that in 2D.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Kristen, where can we find you on the internet?
I don't want you to find me.
Okay.
Perfect.
Don't find Kristen on the internet, but if you're If you're
at Don't Find Kristen on the internet.
At Don't Find Kristen on the internet.
To the Saxenheim on Thursdays.
Yeah, if you want Kristen's material, just unsuitable language, look that up.
Yeah, unsuitable language. It's online and like Twitter and things.
Yeah. Online and Twitter and things.
Yeah. At UL Comedy. We're at the Bop Stop once a month, usually the last Saturday of the month, doing a late night show. Because it gets a little risque. Woo! And we do the Old Granddad Challenge, which is...
I've been a contestant on before.
And you did not die. So,
no, I did not die.
Chris Paw died. Marlon almost died.
Well, I can fucking outdrink any of them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you can outdrink Marlon. We haven't really put that to the test. And I don't think we're going to.
Cornbread.
He's got too much cornbread for you to outdrink him.
That's, I mean, if that's his base, then yeah.
Yeah, he's got a cornbread base, but... yeah, the
old... Now man. I just picture him playing a bass guitar shaped like a cornbread muffin.
Oh, that would be amazing. But yeah, that's the last Saturday. If you mention Kristen or I, you get in for $1. So it's worth checking out. The Bop Stop's a wonderful venue. I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff with them this year. You can find us every Thursday at Saxenheim Hall, which is where Kristen and her husband had their first date. And if I remember correctly, you were also dressed as a princess on that first date.
Oh, I had this, like, bohemian hippie dress on, so...
It was more princessy than I was used to from you.
Bohemian princess, like Hunchback of Notre Dame, the fucking Esmeralda. Wasn't she a bohemian?
I guess. I mean, Bohemia was a country.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure she was... Well, I mean, she was a gypsy.
But. Yeah, I don't even know what that is. Like, what country is that?
What, gypsies?
Yeah.
I think it originally, like, stems from Bohemia. Like, those people, and then migrated and it became other things as well. Like, I don't think you strictly have to be Bohemian to live the gypsy life.
Well, yeah.
There are various dialects of gypsy language.
Essentially, like, Brad Pitt's crew in Snatch, don't they basically call, like, the white trash people gypsies?
They call them pikeys.
Which is, like the same thing.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, they live in caravans, they move around a lot. And when I was over in Ireland, they let their horses loose in the village green in Bray, and everybody was real pissed off, so... It's, you know, it varies from place to place how people are treated, I guess.
I'd like to thank our sponsor, Disney, for this podcast.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get any free stuff from
them. Oh, boy!
You want a piece of me, fuckers?
Hail Satan!
The fat ones are funny! Or should I have said goofy? God damn it.
See? You gotta think in those puns, buddy. We have to thank our real sponsors. Thank you, Brit Fox, X Fox Rocks on Snapchat and the Instagram. At Epic Fall, which is Just Fall Stick. You can find her on the Above Below Entertainment Network with her own podcast.
The default setting.
Default. See, fault, like fault stick. You can also find her every Sunday at the Avenue Tap House hosting the Red Light Showcase at 7 o'clock.
Play to the Stripper Herder.
And play to the Stripper Herder. Blogspot.com. One man's quest to navigate his way through the strip club industry.
I think you should just change your whole little shtick to one's man plight to protect titties.
Well, I mean, I don't think he's... He is. He's protecting titties.
He's absolutely protecting. He's a floor guy at a fucking at a strip club. Dude, yeah. What do you think his job is? Is protect titties.
Well, there's a lot we can get into that.
And money.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just like to thank you guys so much for having me on. This is a great start to my MLK weekend. Like, what a way to celebrate blackness than to discuss Disney.
You're right. You're right.
Oh, we ran out of time to talk about Song of the South.
Another day. Another okay. day.
That could be a whole episode.
Yeah.
Nobody's seen it. They won't release it.
Oh, I saw it when I was a kid. I think I had the clamshell. So, Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates new Disney animation as much as Kristen Gale would.
No, there is another. I want to find you.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Chris Clem.
Oh no, it's Gojira.
No, that is a no wizard.
Oh, it's just a fat New Western goober.
What you want, fat man? Micah Bowser? Here in New Orleans. Go away.
Who is a Mike Bowser?
Very powerful wizard.
Meanwhile, in the Big Easy.
Boy, oh boy. I sure do enjoy being a writer down here in New Orleans. Nothing could ever bring me down. Oh no, it's Chris Clem. You will not destroy my village, you beast. Be gone with you back to Chicago. Oh no, he's too powerful. Curse you, giant. Your precious PH Comedy Theater will not survive the month. Ha ha ha. You'll never make another house team, you brute. Enjoy your sports ball minicast, sucker.
That's Chris Clem.
This has been the Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.